today as we come to the table.
For many are called, but few are chosen. You know, in the way it's written here, it almost gives the impression that not everyone is called, but this is really a bad translation. The word many here is a word that's an adjective, and when used as an adjective in the Greek language, has a very specific meaning. And let me read you the meaning. Here's what it means. As many as there are. That's the meaning of that word. Now let me read it literally to you the way it says in the original. Here's what Jesus said. For as many as there are called, but few are chosen. That means everybody. As many as there are. Here's what God is saying. He's calling you. He's giving you the invitation.
Have you ever felt left out? Maybe it was not being chosen to play on a sports team, or when others seem to overlook you for a party or gathering. There is a place you belong, and Jesus extends an always invitation to you. As Pastor Mark teaches today, you'll learn how wide the Lord's arms are to whosoever will. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Some might argue that it's impossible for all to be saved, but Jesus' shed blood is efficient for the whole world for all time. And Pastor Mark reminds us that Scripture is clear, going back to the original Greek translation, that as many as there are called, you and I aren't left out. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, as he continues his message, A King's Invitation.
We're not just living life. We're not just taking what you've given us and being wise with it. We're living for that. And we're rejecting you, and we're rejecting your son. I have work to do at my house. I'm too busy with my business stuff. And notice this again. It says about the others here. It says, the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. Again, that picture of the prophets being abused when God sent his messengers to them to invite them to the wedding. Now, the first time God did this, he was very gracious. The next time we're going to see he's not quite as gracious. Notice this. They go back to the king, and they say, oh, king, they still rejected. Even though we told them how grand it was. Look at verse 7. Well, when the king heard about it, he was furious. Now, again, God is gracious, and God is long-suffering. We need to understand way more long-suffering, I think, than many of us understand. But even God reaches a point where God says, that's enough. I'm bringing judgment. You know, it's interesting. We think about God, and oftentimes the question comes up, how could a God of love bring judgment? Listen, righteousness requires judgment. There isn't justice without judgment. There has to be some payment for what's been done wrong, or there's no justice. Here's the good news. Jesus paid for it. So if you simply believe in what Jesus did on the cross, there's the justice. It's paid for. The problem is a lot of people want it to happen without a payment for it. He now is furious, and notice what he does. He sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their cities. What he's saying is, you have rejected God's son. If you continue to reject God's son, there's going to be a day of judgment. It's going to finally come. And so the warning from the Lord, again, not just for them, but also for us as well in demonstrating his grace and his patience. And we know in 70 AD, that's exactly what happened. God sent the Roman army in with Titus Vespasian, wiped out the Jews. And I look at the grace of God. He gave them 40 years after he died on the cross. He died on the cross and said, judgment's coming, another 40 years before the judgment came. That's the grace of God. I had someone ask me today, with all this going on in the world, and all these things that are happening, why doesn't God just end it all and just bring it all to a close right now? I'm like, that would be great. As far as I'm concerned, I'd love to go ahead and get the kingdom started. But when he asked me that, it really hit me. The reason God is delaying is because God loves people. And he wants to see people repent. He wants to see people in the kingdom of God. And God's long-suffering. He's giving time. He's giving time for that repentance to take place. Well, notice what happens. So he wipes them out. Well, now what? Then he said to his servants, the wedding's ready. But those who were invited are not worthy. That is, the nation of Israel rejected. They showed themselves unworthy. Now, let me make this clear. This doesn't mean that God's through with the nation of Israel. Not at all. God said, in the last days, I'm going to bring Israel back in the land. We saw that happen in 1948. And then God said, also, I'm going to pour my spirit out at some point on them as a nation in the last days. And there's going to be a great move of God and a big portion of the nation believing in Jesus Christ. So God is not done with the nation. And God has not replaced Israel with the church. But what he's going to say here, God has now passed the baton from Israel to the church. Look at what he says here. He said, the wedding's ready, but those who are invited were not worthy. Therefore, go out into the highways and byways, and as many as you find, invite into the wedding. What did the Lord say to the church? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You see, when Israel rejected the Lord and they lost that privilege, it's now been given over to us. And for the last 2,000 years, that's what the church has been doing. Think about what God entrusted them with. God gave to Moses and the children of Israel the word of God, and he says, now you be the keepers of it. And they were. They were very faithful. Listen, if it wasn't for the faithfulness of the Jews to keep God's word, you wouldn't have a Bible to read this morning. How serious did they take it? Listen, when the scribes rewrote the Bible on the scrolls they wrote them on, every time they came to the Lord's name, they would stop and go and do a mikvah. It's basically take a bath, what call almost a baptism. They'd come back up, dry off, write the Lord's name, then they'd go back, take another bath, come back, and continue writing the rest of the scripture. Imagine in the books that have the Lord's name a lot back to back, it would have taken forever to get anywhere. If they got to the end of, say, the book of Isaiah, 66 chapters, if there was one word or one letter even at the very end that was wrong, they'd throw the entire scroll away and start over. They honored God's word, and they saw the value of God's word, and God said, you honored it up to a point, and now you've rejected it. And how did they reject it? By rejecting Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the Word. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And what the Lord is saying is, by rejecting me, you're rejecting my Word. And now in this parable, he's saying to them, you're not worthy to carry this on. I'm passing this baton on to the church, on to the Gentiles, and they're going to go out into all the highways and byways and preach the good news. So he said, go out, as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways, gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Now imagine the commoners' shock when these guys came out in all their royal garb saying, hear ye, you've been invited to the king's son's wedding. I can just imagine, ooh, the noise, really? Yes. We invited one group, they rejected it. They decided they didn't want that. So now I'm coming to you and you're invited. And the king said, all are welcome. Can you imagine the excitement in the village? People running to their homes, getting the things ready, getting prepared. When is it? What do we have to do? How can we be there? Thinking of all the glorious things they would see in the king's palace, if you will. That should be the attitude of us today. And that should be the attitude of all that are being called by the Lord. I don't think people realize what a great invitation that you're getting. You're being invited to a palace where you're being introduced into the king's family and you'll live forever in royalty with him. Imagine rejecting that. Imagine what an insult to the king. And so again, he says, go on, anybody that will come. And notice this, he invited them in. And verse 11, they were filled with guests, both good and bad. Actually, there's a point I want you to note here. Look at verse 10. It says, they were filled with both good and bad. That's a picture of the church. That may be a picture here today. That is, everyone's invited. Those that are saved, those that are unsaved, those that have good motives, those that have bad motives. Everyone's invited. Why would God do that? The doors are open of the church to all so you can hear the message. You can hear the invitation. You can hear the good news. You know, oftentimes I hear people say, well, the church, you know, is full of, you know, a bunch of hypocrites or full of this or full of that. Yes, listen, it is not good to claim you're a Christian and to live hypocritically. That gives a bad name to the Lord. But where would you rather the sinners be? In church or in the streets? I'd rather them be here where they can hear the gospel, where they can repent. And so the good and bad are brought together in one place. The question is, what do you do once you hear the message? What do you do once the gospel is preached? And so notice what happens now. So they're all gathered together, and it says, verse 11, but the king came in to see the guests, and he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. Now, this is a big deal. Here's the picture. It gives a picture again of the Lord walking among his flock. It gives a picture of the Lord being in here today. looking around you and saying, who has a wedding garment on and who doesn't? You see, in that day, if you didn't have a wedding garment, you couldn't go to the wedding. You were not expected to even show up to the wedding if you didn't have a wedding garment. Today, if you go to a wedding, you know, you want to dress appropriately, but whatever you have, right? That's what you're wearing. In that day, if you didn't have a wedding garment on, and if you didn't show up in a wedding garment, you were kicked out. You were not allowed in the wedding. So he goes to look and see who all's wearing a wedding garment and who's not, and he notices those who don't have a wedding garment. You know, I wonder how many this morning, as the Lord looks around us, that don't have on a wedding garment. Mark, what do you mean? What does that mean? What it means is this. You haven't clothed yourself in Christ. You're not a new creation. You've not been born again. Listen, if you're here and you don't have on a wedding garment, you're welcome. I'm glad you're here. And the Lord is not saying that those who don't know him yet are not welcome. His point is there's going to come a day when the wedding comes that they won't be welcome. If you don't have on a wedding garment, by the time the wedding arrives, you're not going to be welcome to the wedding. Again, it's interesting. There's a dispute between theologians as to whether or not it was just the Greeks that did this, but the Greeks would again even provide the wedding garments because they wanted to make sure that everyone had the same thing on. Some believe the Jews did the same thing, but either way, you either had a wedding garment or you didn't. You either got in or you didn't get in. And notice what he says to him. So he said to the man, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus is obviously speaking of more than just a normal wedding here, because notice he says they're cast into outer darkness. So clearly it's a parable concerning heaven and eternal life. Jesus is not only revealing the church is the bride of Christ, but who will be invited to the wedding and who will not be invited to the wedding. And this is a test we can take right now. Will you be invited to the wedding? Well, first of all, you'll be invited. The question is, will you respond? See, the first requirement to going to the wedding supper of the Lamb and being a part of God's family is you've got to respond to the invitation. And God right now is giving some of you that don't know him an invitation. He's saying, look, I love you. I've died for you. I'm inviting you into the kingdom. Will you respond? That's the first thing that has to happen. We saw earlier those who rejected ended up in judgment, if you will, by the king. And the Bible says the same thing will happen to those that reject his son. We'll get to that more in a moment. But secondly, notice we have to have on the proper clothing. And that is we have to be clothed in Christ. Listen to what it says in Romans 13, verses 13 and 14. It says, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Note this, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Galatians 3:27 says much the same. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That is, if you're in Jesus, you're wearing the wedding garment. If you're not in Jesus, you're not wearing the wedding garment, and you're not going to be invited to the wedding. So the question is, do you have on the wedding garment? And the answer is, have you come to the cross? Have you trusted in what Jesus did for you on the cross? You know, it's interesting here. Notice when he finds the man among God's people that doesn't have on a wedding garment, the man's speechless. Sometimes I'll hear people say, you know, when I get to heaven, I've got some things I want to say to God. Almost kind of in a defiant, angry type of attitude. Guys, listen, when we get to heaven, I can guarantee you, we will be speechless. Those of us that know the Lord will be filled with praise, so we won't be speechless in that way. But in the sense of trying to confront God, there's not going to be anybody confronting God. He was speechless. And the king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him again into outer darkness. Notice now the results of not being clothed in Christ when the wedding comes. First, they were bound hand and foot. This man was bound hand and foot. That is a loss of his freedom. And not just a loss of his freedom, but a loss of his freedom eternally. And notice, secondly, it says he was cast into outer darkness. It's interesting what the word means here in the language. It literally means the outermost darkness of darkness. So not just darkness, but the outermost. You guys have heard me use the example of going into a cave. You've probably been in those caves before where they turn the lights out and they freak you out. I hate those things. Okay, we're going to turn the lights out for a minute. Just don't do that. I may shoot you. They turn out the lights, and if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. You can feel it. You can feel the darkness. I've never experienced feeling darkness until I went into a cave deep into the earth and it turned out the lights. That's on the earth. Now move to outer darkness of the universe, now go to the outermost outer darkness of that. That is what he's saying it's going to be like for those that are separated in this judgment. Again, the question comes up, well, not only that, the Bible says it's going to be a lake of fire, which means it's not going to be any light from the fire. It's going to be a fire that burns, but there's no light to the fire. So it's going to be this place of misery and outer darkness. And the question comes up, God, why would God even create a place like that? And why would God send anyone there? Well, the answer to that is God doesn't send anyone there. And God never intended it for us at all. As a matter of fact, anyone that goes there is only because they haven't received his son, Jesus Christ, and their payment. God didn't send them there. They choose to go there. But what's interesting about this is even more. What you need to realize is that God never intended for any human to go to this place. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. It says this, "Then he," that is the Lord when he's judging on that day, "will also say to those on his left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire.'" Note this, "prepared for the devil and his angels." Not prepared for people. You see, why did God prepare this for the devil and his angels? Because the devil and his angels were once in heaven and they saw the glory of God. They have a higher accountability level. Imagine being in heaven, seeing God's glory, seeing the angels, the beauty, I mean, all that's there, and then saying to God, "I don't want this. I reject this." Like, are you kidding me? "No, I don't want it." Well, then you're not going to have it. And not only are you not going to have the greatest light that the universe has to offer, you're going to now go into the greatest darkness that the universe. So Satan and the fallen angels have earned that place and they deserve it. God never intended it for anybody in this room. And God never intended it for man. It was only for the devil and his angels. Well, then, Mark, why would some people ever go there? Because some people, by rejecting what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, they get lumped in with the devil and his angels. You see, it's not that God wants anyone to be there. The Bible says that God desires none perish. But if you reject the promise of Jesus Christ, you're lumped in with those that have rejected the promise of Jesus Christ, which again is the place prepared for the devil and his angels by the Lord. And the next question is, well, what if I make no decision at all? What if I just say, you know what? I'm not going to decide anything. I'm going to remain neutral. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 11, 23. He said, "He who is not with me is against me." That is, if you don't make a choice, you've made a choice. "And he who does not gather with me scatters." Now, this is pretty daunting. You look at this, what God says here, the great promise of the kingdom. Here's the good news. That's the bad part. The good news is nobody has to be there. Everyone's invited to the wedding. I don't care what you've done. He gathers everyone together. I don't care what your sin is. I don't care what your past is. If you come to Jesus and you ask him to forgive you, he will receive you in the kingdom. He will forgive you of your sins, and you walk out those back doors as clean as the driven snow, forgiven forever, wiped away, only to enjoy the wedding supper of the Lamb. The sad part is for those who don't make that decision. And again, the Lord speaks of that situation here. Notice he says they'll be cast into outer darkness. And here's the part that grips me the most about this. Look at this last line of verse 13. "And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, weeping and gnashing of teeth has two different meanings used consistently throughout the scripture. All through the Bible, gnashing of teeth is a picture of anger. It's a picture of the person that just hates God and they're just gritting their teeth, going, "Ugh," that kind of thing. And they hate God. Weeping throughout scripture is always a brokenness and sorrow. Now, let me set the scene for you a little bit. The Bible says we will be there. Those of you in this room that know God, you're going to be here on this day. The Bible says he will call up everyone from death, and Hades will be called up before him. Everyone that's ever lived throughout eternity will come and stand before the Lord at the great white throne judgment of the Lord. And it says for those who don't know the Lord, he's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And it says there's going to be two different groups of people that are there. There's going to be one group that are going to be angry and gnashing their teeth. And I have to be honest, as I picture this in my mind, because you're going to be watching it and I'm going to be watching it, we're going to see that crowd. You're going to see a portion of them angry, maybe shaking their fists, gritting their teeth, gnashing their teeth. I have to admit, I'm not as sorry for them. Yes. Do I wish they'd repented? Yes. Do I wish that everyone was saved? Yes. But my heart isn't as broken for them as the other group, because there are going to be some that we see on that day that are going to have their heads bowed weeping. And why are they weeping? Because I heard the invitation over and over and over, but I didn't respond. I looked throughout my life. God sent people to me over and over and over. Even as the Lord used in the parable, he sent the first group out, they didn't respond. He sent the second group out, they still didn't respond. Then he went out and invited everybody. How many times has God invited us into his kingdom? How many invitations have we received? And there's going to come a point where we can't receive an invitation anymore. And at that point, There's nothing else but brokenness. And we're going to see myriads of people that are weeping going, why didn't I listen? Listen, here's the shocking thing. There may be someone here today that you're going to remember what I'm saying right now and be in that group. I'm not trying to use fear. That's not my heart at all. This is more of saying, listen, you've been given an invitation not only to escape the judgment on the Satan, you know, on Satan and his angels, because you're not supposed to be there. No one's supposed to be there. But God has given you the glorious hope of the kingdom in Jesus Christ. Will you respond? Notice it's interesting in the last verse here, verse 14, he says this, for many are called, but few are chosen. You know, in the way it's written here, it almost gives the impression that not everyone is called, but this is really a bad translation. The word many here is a word that's an adjective, and when used as an adjective in the Greek language, has a very specific meaning. And let me read you the meaning. Here's what it means. As many as there are. That's the meaning of that word. Now let me read it literally to you the way it says in the original. Here's what Jesus said. For as many as there are called, but few are chosen. That means everybody. As many as there are. Here's what God is saying. He's calling you. He's giving you the invitation. And he's saying, will you come to the wedding? It's going to be grander than you ever dreamed or imagined. It's going to be eternity. You're going to be ruling and reigning with me. You're going to be a part of my family forever and ever and ever. You think in your mind, almost like those servants that went out giving the invitation for the king's son's wedding. How can you say no to that? And yet I think of all the years that I said no, there may be some of you that were like me that for many years have said no. And this morning, for the first time, God is saying, you need to say yes. I love you. And you're welcome. This future for those who reject, that's not intended for you. That's for the devil and his angels. What's intended for you is my kingdom. Jesus told his followers, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And that's what he has for you this morning. The question is, will you respond? You know, it's interesting when you think about all the reasons for rejecting. I'm too busy. I've got my own things. I'm not really interested. Making light of it. Don't make light of it. The invitation is going out. Respond as you hear the voice of the Lord. I want to end by giving you an opportunity to respond to that before we do this last segment that I have today. But let's pray right now. Father, I want to thank you, God, for the picture you've given us here of the messengers going out and sending messenger after messenger. And Lord, some responding and some not responding. God, I pray that everyone that hears this invitation today would respond, that they would say, yes, I will come to the king's son's wedding. I will be married to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. I will be a part of the bride of Christ. The invitation is open. It's extended for all who simply from their heart receive. And if that's you today, from your heart, just be honest with the Lord. Confess your sin. Tell him you believe that he died for you on the cross and receive him. And the Bible says you will be forgiven and you will have the kingdom as your inheritance forever.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day on this station. Say, wasn't that message great? Pastor Mark is helping us follow the journey of Jesus through the book of Matthew. And along the way, we're finding great highs and very low lows. Jesus will be worshiped by the people, but also beaten and killed by the authorities. But we know that in the kingdom of God, everything gets turned upside down because the lowest moment in the life of Jesus was also his greatest triumph, thanks to him conquering sin and death on the cross. And in the end, we will see him rise. But he doesn't leave it at that. Before he returns to heaven, he has a commission for you and me that we find in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Since we know the end of the story and we know that we're called to make disciples, let's lean into the teachings and commands of Jesus along the way. Now, if you missed any part of this message, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net under the Come to the Table section, or just download the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store and take us wherever you go. And while you go out to make disciples, save another half hour for us. as we'll continue to go verse by verse through the book of Matthew the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.